Good morning. Today is Monday, the 21st of December. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dolby, and his... Winston has his hat on. I thought you might have you.
No, I have no visible
signs
Christmas.
Of the season.
Yes, that nothing. Nor do you. Wearing a tie.
I'm pushing for sun.
Yeah.
It worked yesterday pretty nice,
yeah,
though, didn't
there
it?
There you go. I think we got some rain coming tonight, if I recall.
Yeah, that's why I'm wearing what I'm wearing as much as I can, yes. Winston, why do we say it?
I'm actually surprised that I found a Santa hat that actually fits my head.
Well, we'll just let that one lie on the floor.
Yeah. Big brain. What is the reason we use vicar as a synonym for minister?
Vicar?
Vicar.
Vicar. Vicar.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, I think isn't it a Latin word for either bridge or to Christ? I don't know.
Bridge would almost make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But then they'd be a mason.
But I do believe it's a Latin term.
Sure, you betcha.
You were pretty close. The term comes from the Latin vicarius, meaning substitute. The original idea behind its use was that the vicar substituted for Christ in interpreting the words of God.
Interesting.
Pretty good for a guy who drinks coffee.
Yeah. Apparently not enough.
Yeah. Oh, well, over the weekend, we heard that there's a new round of potential. I got to keep saying that. Of PPP, new potential for some of the stimulus, some support for some different entities. With that in combination with vaccines, it's kind of like interesting what happens after an election, eh?
You mean politics are involved in this stuff?
Come on, John.
Okay, first of all, I got to tell you, I was dead wrong. I believed the COVID crisis would end the moment Biden was elected. That didn't happen. I was wrong.
Right.
There you go. So I will admit my failings.
Way to go.
Yeah, there it is. With that said, you're probably asking about the stimulus package. And
well, it was a little... You know, and I understand, but it's interesting to hear some of those quotes that were being accessed that the $600 a week wasn't enough.
I mean the $300
a week. Or $300 a week instead of $600 a week. What wasn't enough?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay. Yeah, I get it, but I hit the jackpot, John, but you know what? It just wasn't big enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that people are in tough steads, but it's almost as if we're taking a different attitude. And that's, I guess, what's at the root for me.
You know, the challenge is there of trying to assess what's the appropriate number, if there is one, rather than just going with straight unemployment as it is. Has to do with, you know, you could probably cite a million examples where it's too much and a million examples where it's not enough for
right, depending
the circumstances.
On where you are.
Right. So
yeah.
Since it's not circumstance driven or needs driven, you know, that's where you have the challenges. The other one is when it was it 600 last time around?
Yes.
You know, I'm getting old enough that my memory is failing. I don't trust it anymore. And your name is? When it was 600, one of the challenges a lot of employers had was getting people to come off of unemployment and come back to work. And so I understand why the necessity to reduce it. But again, you know, every circumstance would be different as to whether it's enough or it's not.
Well, if you get behind the eight ball, yeah, it's tough to catch up. Okay, so that's there. Now, they're also discussing... I got something over the weekend that was indicating a second round of PPP, forwarding it on to those who I feel ought to know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are you hearing anything formal yet in the trades? Are you seeing any solidification of that, or is that still kind of amorphous at this point as well?
So we've heard some needs-based qualifications this time around. So... Last time what happened is you had this crisis hit. Nobody knew what was going to happen, and everybody was fearful. So PPP was offered. So every business that, you know, well, every is an exaggeration, but most businesses that were eligible took out PPP money because they didn't know what the future held. They didn't know what was going to happen to their business. They didn't know if they were going to be able to survive. There were a lot of businesses that have thrived during the COVID because of all the home improvement that's being done, and people are shopping on Amazon and, you know, various things. So
yes, Amazon's doing very well, thank
yeah.
you.
So there are a number of businesses that have thrived through this, and then others that have suffered deeply. And those that have thrived, PPP was just a gift because they didn't need the money. And so if it's forgiven, then it's an absolute gift. Now, for those that are recipients of over $2 million, they're now having to prove that there was a need before the forgiveness takes place. So there is some of that. But if you were under the 2 million threshold, you would be forgiven, and even if you didn't need it. Your business may be up and you didn't need it. This time around, my understanding is that you're going to have to prove a 30% reduction in revenue before you're eligible to take out
PPP. Yeah, I've seen three different tiers, 30, 25, and 20 in a quarter. And I don't, you know, that's part of that nebulous. Is it three consecutive months? Is it with or without some of the support?
Right.
Or not? I mean, that stuff is still working.
And we won't know for a while. What's going to happen is now the legislation, once it's signed and, you know, so forth, then we'll go to the SBA. The SBA then will write a set of rules, and the bureaucracy then will make certain...
We'll engage
certain changes and additions to the process, so we won't know for a while exactly what the requirements are.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. So, John, with some of the different challenges that are out there, I kind of feel like I'm talking to Macaulay, but we're channeling through you. we're hearing a bunch of activities, you know, whether when the monies are going to come through, there's going to be a stimulus thing, there's the unemployment thing, there's the opportunity for the businesses to get some support thing. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that's all of a sudden swirling as we're looking at the holiday break. But everybody's saying they're going to hang in there, and I suspect it's so that they don't get accosted in the grocery store when they come back home to their district, is what I So as you're looking at this from your industry perspective, is it just kind of sit back and watch and just wait instead of trying to get out in front of it? Because I would imagine that the parade could take a right-hand turn while you're still marching forward and you're not leading anything.
Well, from a banking perspective, we have a number of things happening. One is there was a lot of deferment of payments that was part of COVID relief, and also, you know, suspending any eviction or foreclosure processes. And so a lot of the problems that may be there are hidden from view because businesses have stimulus money. They may be failing, but they have stimulus money to keep open. We don't know, and that's the big thing, is we don't know. They can't make their payments, but they're deferred, so we don't know that. We don't have those indicators. So there's a lot of indicators that we would normally have that certain businesses or industries are struggling that don't exist for us because they're, I guess, covered up or hidden behind stimulus and payment deferment. So it's really hard to tell how the economy's doing when you have these artificial
these prop-ups things.
Yeah, and I'm not saying the prop-ups are bad. I'm just saying it clouds the vision of understanding what you know the core problems and challenges are. You know, we have some loans that, you know, they're not on our books, but that we service through the Fannie Mae process that are substantially past due, but we can't do anything about it because we're not allowed to. And so once that happens, then you're going to see once those foreclosures and eviction relief is taken away, I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of stuff happen.
It's not going to real reflection of,
yeah,
of what is.
And yeah. I'm not going to say it's a lot. I mean, it's less than a handful for us. But with that said,
if you're 10%, that's a pretty big chunk on top of what has already been.
Yeah. And who knows what the gajillion dollar big banks have pending as far as foreclosures and evictions and so forth. So it'll be interesting once those things are lifted.
Do you have a sense of whether or not this has been a healthy Christmas? Or can you? Is that one of those things being hidden behind the veil?
Well, we certainly have stressed with both our staff and with our social media advertising, you know, trying to stress buy local. I mean, that's something that's very important. And I did the same. I did almost all of my Christmas shopping local. And in fact, one of the fun things we did is, you know, we couldn't do Christmas parties this year and so forth. So we took that money and we gave each of our employees a $200 Visa gift card and ask them to go spend it at a local merchant or business, and then take pictures to advertise the business, and then we put those on our social media, and that was a lot of fun. So those are the types of things that we're trying to do to stimulate purchasing your Christmas from local merchants.
Boy, am I having to check off a couple of real cheap comments right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be interesting, you know, and particularly with the governors layering on top of all the stuff, too, to find out.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear something with the inoculations, though, that grocery store workers were going to be included, which I
hadn't heard that.
I had been asking why not them all along, because, you know, if there's anybody who's exposed to more people in a day, I mm-hmm. wouldn't know who it is. Well, maybe a toll booth guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about some of these various areas that are exposed. You know, for a business to lose, there's one outfit that we work with out of Sacramento. 80% of their staff has been either first, second, third, you know, however far out you have to go to shelter. They're down to 20% of their work staff.
Wow.
You know, how does, you know, and that's not the economics, that's totally different. I mean, how do you survive in a situation like that? So mm-hmm. I think the multiple layering is going to be a challenge also to try to figure out what caused what.
Well, how far do you have to go? You know, if I was exposed directly to somebody who had COVID, okay. But if I was exposed to somebody who was exposed,
or
and there's no symptoms, you know, and then if I was exposed to somebody who was exposed to somebody who was exposed to somebody who had it.
Yeah.
You know, so where does it end, and how deep do you go? And these are a lot of challenges that that we've had. In fact, I was talking to my wife, and she gets really frustrated because she hears one thing and then she hears another and so forth. And, you know, the challenge is we hear different information on a daily basis. And so what is the truth?
Right here. When we come back, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times, are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Meg Dude, Mr. Dalby. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. John, we've got a number of different things that are going on, but one of them, it's kind of, I guess, taken a side. Ooh, you got red laces on.
You're shoe laces, yes.
I you're do. In the spirit.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Either that or you really like licorice and you just kind of always have a supply handy.
Yeah, black or red.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a pair of black boots on with red laces for
yes,
those that
red licorice
have no
laces.
Idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, none at all.
And, of course, we normally don't know what he's yes. talking about, but that's okay.
Amazon and Google defending themselves. interesting little situation. I guess Google is the one that's going to get first attention about being monopolistic and being aggressive, at least so. Basically stomping on anybody that's making a run at them. What do you think? Is this the first of many in the IT industry that are going to be looked at really hard? I know Microsoft was a couple years ago and it was determined that they were not monopolistic. And they weren't acting that way, but what sense do you have?
Well, first of all, I'm not an expert in this arena, so I am, you know, I will add the caveat to my comments that I speak in a great deal of ignorance. With that said, I think if something's going to be done, it's going to be a political issue. You know, Google, Amazon, you know, Twitter. Of which, you know, Facebook, the whole thing. Now, keep in mind, I have never been on social media in my life. I've never had an account.
I text.
Been on there. Yeah, I do text. With that said, it depends on who's in power because they have an agenda. And if I'm in political power and they align with my agenda, why would I stop them? And it's the same thing with voter fraud. If voter fraud's working for my party, why would I interfere with it? If it's working for the other party, I'm going to be upset about it. And so it really depends on who's in power and are they in alignment with their agenda. I think that's really where it's going to boil down to.
So First Amendment doesn't come into play?
Well, if we pack the courts... Bill of Rights is gone.
I guess I use that as an example of big question marks for next year. How is the bank? How are you consulting businesses? What to anticipate for 21?
We're not. We're just hoping.
You just don't answer the phone.
We're just hoping to survive 2020.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
So, you know, 2021, you know, hopefully we can start moving past this. We've got to get the COVID question mark away. And I call it a question mark just because there's an unknown here. What's really going to happen? You know, when we got into this, we thought it was going to be 30 days, maybe 60 back in March. And so we took actions at the bank that, you know, and made statements.
Predicated on 2 to 3 months.
Two or three months. And now, you know, here we are having to do the same thing over and over again. And, you know, we're heading for a full year of, you know, COVID challenges. And the other thing we're seeing is the COVID issue is becoming polarizing as there are those that are that.
As is life.
Yes.
Right?
Everything seems to be polarizing. But there are those that are scared to death of COVID, and there are those that think this is all a hoax and what a waste of time it is. Why are we wearing masks? And so now we're seeing those conflicts, and they impact, you know, customer and business relations. It impacts relations within your own staff, and we're seeing families divided by the same issues. And there doesn't seem to be tolerance on either side of those issues, much like politics and everything else that seems to be happening in our world today.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how we get out of this. You know, does everybody come together, or are we just continuing to run on parallels and, you know, I was right, no, I was right, and yeah, we just kind of continue down the pathway that we have? I suspect it's the latter, not the former.
Yeah, it boils down to we need to be tolerant of other people's opinions. You know, if a business says, yeah, wear a mask when you come in, I put a mask on. You know, that's, and if I don't want to put a mask on, don't go in.
So what was the upshot with, in past years, wearing a mask in a bank? Let's just say it was frowned upon.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, now it's protocol. With the security issues and things of that nature, how are you able to arrive at a resolution on that?
So as an industry, banks have done it in different ways. I am aware of one bank that requires that you go to a station, take your mask off, get photographed, put it back on, and then proceed. Our staff, if they don't recognize you, because, you know, we're a community bank, so we recognize most people, they might ask you to step back, take your mask off so the picture can be taken, and then put it back on. But, you know,
well, so what about the tellers that duck under the counter when I come in? They must be recognizing me?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, recognize, yeah, you.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the mask.
Right, that's kind of what
I
thought.
I think it's the fear that you might take it off.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with COVID.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, that explains why I was given a mask 5, 10 years ago to wear. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back with Mr. Dalby this morning. Any parting words for the year?
I would say Merry Christmas.
Oh, how's I was that? Thinking more like Good Riddance 2020.
Yeah, 2020, I'll be glad when that one's over, and I'm hoping there is a transition to a better year.
I'm fearful that there's another 10 days left. Who knows what's going to happen? Huh? It just has been one of the strangest. And what's really intriguing for me, and I don't, you know, historically if it'll be viewed as such, that it really was just a weird year across the board by almost everybody's definition. This was not a normal year. So we'll see. What are you looking at for 2021? What are your canaries, so to speak, either for things getting together or things falling apart even more so?
Well, what's happening in our industry is we are preparing for the worst, meaning that pretty much banks across the country are increasing their allowance for loan loss, anticipating that once stimulus goes away and the deferments end, that there will be some underlying problems in their loan portfolios, although, you know, they're not showing yet, but at least for us, but we believe there might be some there. So, you know, we're really bracing ourselves for the worst. We think that a lot of the industry is going to be just fine. I just don't see a lot of signs of significant problems. Most of them are self-inflicted, and what I mean by that is, you know, every time we lock down, you're keeping people from traveling, you're keeping people from eating, you know, in restaurants, and that has a ripple effect on not only those businesses, but the ones that support them.
Yeah, it's the second, third, and tertiary extensions off of those businesses.
So the issue is not so much COVID, but you know, the cure is the challenge. So, you know, we're preparing for a challenging year. At the same time, I'm relatively optimistic that we're going to come, you know, not everyone, but as a whole, I think we're going to be fine.
So when we push out through this, will the local economy be stronger, the same, or worse?
Well, the biggest challenge that I see is the housing prices. With there's a migration, a northern migration of people from the Bay Area and from the Los Angeles Basin moving into Humboldt County, which has caused housing prices to rise. Some predict as much as 25%. Well, the problem is salaries aren't going up and wages aren't going up 25%. So what was a housing crisis before here, a local housing crisis, only got worse. And so I see that being a big problem.
My positive spin on that is, but if they're bringing their income along with them because they're portable, now there's more money in the economy, and then that's where we start to get the tertiary spread.
I hope you're right.
It'd be nice to end the year on the right. Thanks for coming by, bud. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
See everybody tomorrow.